This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:06, and for our first story of the day, we're looking at young investors and where they're putting their money. Now, according to Stash Away Malaysia, less than 5% of young investors, those 35 and below, are placing their money in Bursa Malaysia.
So one main cause they think this can be attributed to is the lack of choice in our market. So unlike developed markets like the US, for example, they have a variety of options like ETFs or exchange traded funds, and they also have digital brokers and also digital fund managers.
So the profile of the young investor based on certain studies, including Stash Away and Deloitte, comes like this, looks like this. They have smaller pockets. They want their investments to align with their ethical values. Their needs aren't currently being served by the financial services market here. And also a Deloitte study found that millennials tend to mistrust social security systems for their own retirement needs.
See, I find this story really intriguing because it's yet another indication that young people are sort of fundamentally different from their old people.
The forefathers.
I'm not even uncle. Don't call me uncle. And in ways that I'm finding it difficult to understand, but exciting to understand. But that, having said that, despite the fact that I don't doubt this story to be true. Mm-hmm. When I think back, was there ever a time when young people were like queuing up to go and invest in the stock market?
To me, it's always been something that you do kind of in like by the time you're 35 and above. It's not so much that something you do as a young person, unless you were already very economically well off.
And also, if you have the level of financial literacy that will allow you to participate in investing in stock markets. Like, I know me personally, I don't, because I don't know much about how to play the game. And I also am afraid of losing money by investing in stock markets.
I mean, here we are in BFM, you know. Obviously, we know everything about...
I'm the conservative voice of finance matters.
But it looks like there is a need, and people are trying to supply that need to find investments that are friendlier and more understandable to young investors who might well be quite conservative as well, actually. Mm-hmm. Because if they are wanting, and if this is true, that investments to align with their ethical values, I think they would also then understand that their returns will be not as great as if they're absolute risk takers and are going to invest in whale oil derivatives or something. Something crazy, you know what I mean? So it'd be interesting to see.
Well, I think part of it is also the fact that, you know, how do you then, as a young person, which you already don't have that much money to begin with, how do you decide between saving and investing if you don't, the first thing that you want to do, or more naturally you want to do, is save money as opposed to putting it somewhere that you can only use at a later time. And I think, if I'm not wrong, there are numbers out there that indicate that Malaysians in general just aren't able to save. They live from paycheck to paycheck.
And are not also not being able to buy properties in the way that their parents. But I've also seen, though, that a lot of younger people are living at home for longer.
Yep.
And as such, they are not paying rent, nor are they paying mortgages. So we're saying here that younger people have less money in their pocket. Well, that's not necessarily true, because they have disposable income to holiday, etc. Mm-hmm. But this is certainly borne out in Europe, say, where travel is quite easy within the continent. So there might be. I mean, I'm a bit surprised that we're saying that there's that much less money.
Well, you know, I think with the fact that we just haven't really quite moved up in line with cost of living, perhaps that's where that struggle is. And maybe the disenchantment with investing in stocks in Bursa Malaysia is, you know, could be because of personal fear. I've always grown up with my mom telling me, look, your dad lost a lot of money in the stock market. Maybe that's not like the best way to go around investing. Try to save up and, you know, buy a house or something instead, something more stable. So that story is not uncommon. I've heard it among my other friends, my fellow peers, that that's also what their parents would also tell them.
And I also think that the lack of knowledge about the ins and outs of the stock markets also means that for young investors who do invest in the stock markets, either they actually do know what they're doing, or they think they know what they're doing, or they're relying on some kind of advisor to give them the tips and tricks of how to do things. And that in itself leads to certain risks, and which leads to either, you know, maybe huge losses, and it could be a deterrent for young investors to invest in Bursa.
Mm. I mean, a few days ago, we were talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. And I mean, this is really very anecdotal, but I have found that with younger people, a lot of younger people are really quite excited to get involved in something like Bitcoin because it aligns with their ethical values. And one of the key aspects of their ethical values is a lack of trust in state
institutions.
And it feels like it's their thing. It's a new frontier. Personally, I think Bitcoin's, you know, hogwash, but that's just my opinion. But, you know, money has been made. And I wonder if people are attracted to go in directions like that. But our listeners, I'm sure, will have a better clue.
Yeah. So if you happen to be a young investor, you can let us know what you are investing in, whether it's the stock market, Bitcoin, or something else entirely. Let us know. You can call 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking to Rajan Devadesan, who's a licensed financial planner, later on the show. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Business, finance, and music. BFM 89.9.
5:14, you're listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Aiman, and Cam. And we're talking about how young people invest, and it turns out they're not really as interested in Bursa Malaysia. So we're just going to dive a bit deeper into this together with Rajan Devadesan, who's a licensed financial planner with Manulife Asset Management Services Berhad and CEO of RD Wealth Creation. He's, of course, also a familiar voice on Ringgit and Sense, our show on the morning run that's dedicated to personal finance. Rajan, thanks so much for joining us. What are the kinds of attitudes and mindsets do you see among millennials when it comes to investing? And do you think young people are averse to investing in general?
So I don't think young Malaysians are averse to investing. I think they basically face two hurdles. The first one is a low initial income. And the second one is basically a lack of education. Now, there's a fairly interesting concept when it comes to investing. People generally say that if you've got a long time to invest, and obviously by definition, a young person would have more time than a middle-aged individual or an older person. But people say that because that if you have a long time, therefore, you can take a lot of investment risk. Now, that may be true, but the problem is that for people who have never invested before, their psyches, if you like, are very, very delicate. And that's why when I start working with young adults, I'm actually very, very careful to find out whether or not, either on their own or through very good nurturing by their parents or their uncles or aunties, whether or not they already have an entrenched savings culture. And if they do, then things are a lot easier. But there are a lot of people who don't have that. And if they don't, then before I get my younger clients to invest, I actually make sure that they are able to start saving first. And when your salary isn't very, very high, to be able to have excess cash, excess monthly cash flow, excess discretionary income to save and later on to invest requires a certain degree of sacrifice. And that boils down to a matter of character. Some people have it, some people don't.
Can we get into that a bit? What are the saving habits that you advise your clients to have before they invest?
What I generally tend to teach these young adults is that you can go into esoteric areas later, but please don't do that until you have laid a foundation. And the foundation is such that Ultimately, you want to be able to build a savings and investment portfolio. But before you save and invest, you should save. And before you save as part of your wealth accumulation aspirations, you should also set up what's known as an EBF, an emergency buffer fund. So most of the young people that I meet have not yet started their own business. So I just tell them that the general guidelines for Malaysians who are conventional employees, meaning you receive a salary at the end of the month from a conventional employer, is to set up an emergency buffer fund of between 3 and 6 months of your expenses. So let's say you're a young person and you are earning maybe 3,200 ringgit per month. If you are able to exercise some level of restraint and you're spending only 2,500 ringgit per month, if your job is very, very stable, you may only need to have a 3 to 4 month expense buffer. So if it's 3 months for someone like that, 7,500. If it's 4 months, it's 10,000 ringgit. That money should not be placed anywhere where there's any kind of investment risk at all. So I would recommend that for emergency buffer purposes, most people put the money in a savings account in the bank, maybe a series of fixed deposit accounts. And for those who want to get a little bit more sophisticated, they might want to consider putting money into a money market fund, a money market unit trust fund. And once they get to the point of having a sufficiently large buffer, then they can continue to channel their excess cash flow into areas of investment that should effectively take care of not one, not two, but I think three different dimensions of diversification.
Why do you think Bursa Malaysia is not an attractive option for young investors at the moment?
I go back to the original answer that I gave you. I gave you two reasons why I think young people are not investing. Number one, they don't earn enough initially. And number two, there isn't enough education. So the problem about not earning enough is actually going to resolve itself. As long as they stay employed, as long as they commit to investing in the very best investment of all, which is effectively their own capacity to learn and their own capacity to earn. So if you have a young graduate who basically feels, you know, I've got my degree and I have nothing else, there's nothing else in the world to teach me, then that person, I think, is not going to do terribly well. But if an individual looks upon his time in school or at university as an opportunity to learn to learn, then that person, he or she, is going to do very, very well in the decades ahead. Now, this doesn't just apply to their area of work expertise. For an engineer, it isn't just civil engineering or aeronautical engineering. For an architect, it isn't just understanding the difference between making blueprints for regular houses and for skyscrapers. It also means taking the time and trouble to understand the business world that we live in. And so what I try and do, what I tend to make available in my financial planning workshops is giving people access to book titles so that they go away and they buy books on economics, they buy books on investing, they buy books on financial planning, they buy books on business. Because if you cover those four areas and you gradually immerse yourself in the reading, in the thinking, in the discourse with other people who are interested, and if you remain very, very skeptical of scams that involve margin trading or day trading or the wrong end of cryptocurrency, because I'm sure there are a lot of people who have made a lot of money from crypto, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who are going to lose a lot of money in the years ahead. Personally, I think because it takes so long and it's so hard to earn your first 100 ringgit, to earn your first 1,000 ringgit, to earn your first 10,000 ringgit, and it just goes on because it's such hard work, I think people should actually spend a lot of time ascertaining who they want to work with, which professionals. And so looking for bankers, looking for investment professionals like financial advisors, unit trust consultants, maybe even insurance agents for certain aspects of the financial planning equation, looking for licensed financial planners. I think all of these avenues are potential avenues for people to learn.
Right. And as we mentioned earlier, studies show that millennials want their financial decisions to align with their ethical values. What kind of impact do you think this would have?
I think it's becoming more and more important. I set up a portfolio for a relatively young client recently, and she actually was very specific. She said that she wanted to invest in areas that, or in companies that were not involved in meat production. And I had to apologize and say, no, I'm sorry, I don't have something that is so fine-tuned. But I personally choose not to invest directly in companies that are involved in alcohol and are involved in cigarettes and tobacco. There's nothing wrong. These are bona fide legal businesses in Malaysia, and I'm not disparaging people who choose to invest in those companies. But a long time ago, I made the decision that because I don't drink and because I don't smoke, I don't want my investment dollars to flow there. So I think millennials are actually far more sensitive to the realities of the world that we live in. And even if the President of the United States doesn't believe in global warming, I think the rest of us are feeling the impact, the brunt of it out here. And, you know, there are things that we can actually do. So I think ethical investing is a major wave of the future. And I think companies are going to have to start waking up and listening to the millennials, because 100% of our future lies solely with our young people. What you do, the decisions that you make, the decisions that the young people will make, will actually determine the direction of a lot of investment activities.
Rajan, thanks so much for speaking with us today. That was Rajan Devathesan, licensed financial planner with Manulife Asset Management Services Berhad and CEO of RD Wealth Creation. Now, we have been asking for your thoughts. If you're a young investor, where do you happen to invest in? And we do have this message from Lee that says, stocks, Bitcoin, crypto, forex, commodities, every instrument that is speculative is the same. Investing or trading is the art of human emotion. And I think that kind of, you know, does remind me of the fact that and the idea that, you know, well, investments tend to be very rational, but sometimes not really. They do heavily rely on sentiment.
Now, obviously, we don't want to undermine the very purpose and nature of BFM radio. So, you know, we choose our words carefully here. But it's, I kind of wish actually the BFM had been around when I was younger, because everything that Rajan was saying just now, if I'd known that when I was younger, things would be different. But I wonder if with young people now, older people were perhaps, when they were choosing an investment, were satisfied with a certain amount of information about their investment target. They would know what business it's in. They would know something about that industry and some of the personalities involved on the board, etc. But now I think younger people, because of our experiences now on the internet, that there would be a desire to know everything about that company, and possibly even also a sense that yes, but they're also lying. You know, they're hiding something.
This is because like we're used to being able to find this information with, you know, a simple Google search. The expectation of knowing things about a certain company is higher, and you can learn a lot about them even through the media, like what kind of dodgy things they are involved in. Rajan had a client just now who didn't want to invest in a company that is involved in producing meat. So these kind of awareness is created because of the accessibility to this information.
Yeah, and also the Stashaway / Deloitte study did mention, though, that there were areas where there is still a sense of trust, and one is actually TV investment, media. And it's strange how, in many ways, a lot of people turn their backs on the notion of that the TV can teach you about the news, tell you anything about the news. And yet, TV, I guess we're talking about the American TV business stations. Mm-hmm. Those are turned to as being good sources of information.
Q keep those thoughts coming. You can send them through at 7733 2900. That's the number to call. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, some music money. That's what I want by the Sonics. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.